Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And he's promised to accomplish that which he means to accomplish through his word. And so there's something that he has for all of us this morning. As we read his word, I don't care where you are, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, there's something he wants for you, and that's him. But those that are saved, there's something that he wants to show you today. He wants to accomplish his word in you in a way that will strengthen you and help you and be more obedient to him, and you might grow in grace and knowledge. And that there might be something there that this morning that he needs to straighten up. Might need a little spanking. And all he wants you to do is through his word see it and make the right decision. Because he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ is as follows. Very wise. Reverential awe that we must take, that we're talking about Jesus Christ this morning. Now as we look at this story, as we realize the truths, I've always liked the underdog, unless of course it's my team. You never like the underdog there. You know I'm from Michigan, and you know I've had a very happy fall this year. And who knows, it might come to an end here soon, but at least it's been really happy so far. But I've always liked the underdog, those that not much said about, but yet are godly people. And not much is said about Joseph. He's left sort of aside in the story of Jesus Christ. And you know why not much is said about him? Because not much is said about him in the Bible. All we can do is take what is said. And I believe what we have in this passage of scriptures is a volume of a righteous man. And if you and I would emulate, would manifest the very fruits of Joseph's life this morning, we will have a changed life, and we have a life that will be pleasing to God. For here I see the fame of his life in the first part of this passage, and then I see the fruits of his life. But as we look at this passage, this is what as follows, we've got to understand the historical background also, because it helps us understand what he's saying here. Notice it says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. And we need to understand that in the Jewish nation, the Jews were usually betrothed 10 to 12 months prior to marriage. And notice it says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to his father. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says to Joseph. Joseph adopted him. And we see that actually that in the Bible times here, a betrothal period was sort of like our engagement period today, but meaned a lot more. It was a lot more because that betrothal period, the only way a betrothal period, they were when they're betrothed to a husband or wife, they were known as husband and wife, but they did not live together. They lived with their parents still. For 10 to 12 months. After those months, they then would meet together, have the wedding ceremony, and he would then bring her into his house. You've got to understand all of that to help understand the emotions in this passage of Scripture, the emotions of Joseph, which really will manifest who he is in Christ. Will manifest what a righteous life is. But until you realize how much these emotions, I don't think you'll look at the extent of what we're reading here this morning. And in fact, in Bible times, it was so important that they were known as husband and wife, even though they were not married yet, as we might know our engagement period. There were only a couple things that could break off the engagement period, not the marriage, but the engagement period, which they were already considered husband-wife. But they did not consummate the marriage as far as him living with each other, bring him into his house. And there was only two things. One was death. And I would say that'd end a lot of things, don't you? Death would have a tendency to end some things. The other one was unfaithfulness, adultery, or being unfaithful. And so during that betrothal period, they were able to, and it was just like they'd give them a divorce, but it was that important. They would separate them, and they were then, as we'll see in a little bit, minded to either put them away. They had all the reason in the world in the law of Moses. Actually, adultery was so frowned and was an abomination to God that they were stoned. In fact, we see the very truth of the matter that they either put them away publicly or privately. They could make a public display of them because they've broken God's covenant. Well, as it says here, and we'll look at that a little bit more as we go through, but it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, you see what we're saying here? This was before they came together, had the marriage ceremony, and he brought her into his home. Before that, she was found great with child, and it was of the Holy Spirit. There's something different here. We are told in Scripture that this lady that we know as Mary was great with child, but there's only at that point, really, one person on the earth that knew that. And you might say, too, if you're going to talk, maybe Elizabeth and he talked, but wouldn't understand completely. And she was great with child, and you think of that humanly. You're looking at that, and there's only one thing that can happen when you as a husband know and considered a husband during an engagement period time that I'm looking forward to living forever with my wife and finds out she's great with child. But we are told here, and it's explained a little more as we go through, but we are told here it was a miracle. It was of the Holy Spirit. They would not know anything about virgin births. In fact, they would know about Isaiah, and this is a fulfillment of that scripture, but they wouldn't have understood it completely. And so we realize the personality of it. This is a person of the Holy Spirit. Influences or wind doesn't create. And so we see that it goes on further then, and we go into the story. And the first part of the story, I'd like to just stop at verse 19, the first part of verse 19, when it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. There we have his fame. What do we know him as? Here's the first thing we've heard about him, besides the line of Joseph that he was in the first verses of Matthew. And it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. There's a lot to be said in the just man. So what is this just man? Well, that we know that he has to be a man of faith. We have the privilege of knowing the rest of Scripture, don't we? We have the completed Word of God. And the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So he was a man of what? Faith. He knew Jesus Christ, as we might say, as our Lord and personal Savior. He knew about God. He tried to live that righteous life. He did right. He was a descendant of a long line of kings, as we read in the first part of Matthew, but he was a poor carpenter. But he was a descendant of a long line of kings. And the explanation there, we have the line of Joseph in Matthew and the line of Mary in Luke. But notice there's a dilemma now, as he has. He's the husband, and he's a just man. Think of this. There's a dilemma. He finds out what? His wife's great with child. His espoused wife is great with child. Can you imagine how saddened and perplexed he was? Oh, come on. You have to imagine a little bit. How saddened and perplexed he was. But know this, that even, notice he was a just man, even the just are going to have troubles in life. Now let me ask you, answer to yourself, please. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior? Could you give a Bible reason why God should let you into his heaven? Okay. Well, let me say you said yes to that. Now let me ask you another question. Have you ever had any troubles in your life? Yeah. But look at the outcome of this trouble. And that's the same outcome of ours as we put a man of faith, a just man. When we have to do severe things, we need to choose to do it in a tender manner. For we've got to understand that Joseph lived by faith as a righteous man. The just shall live by faith. He was a man of principle. And as a man of principle, knowing God's word, he also knew that God hated what? Unfaithfulness. He hated adultery. He hated unfaithfulness. And the breaking of the marriage vow. God hates that. And as a righteous man, he only wanted God's what? Will. And the Old Testament that he would have known tells him, as a righteous man, there is only one thing as a righteous man he can do. And that is break off the engagement, the betrothal period time. And he had all the right to do this publicly, make her a public reputation and disgrace her for what she's done, or could do it privately. Well, we know what he did, but I want us to understand a little bit more about Joseph, this double problem. Because of his righteous moral standards, he knew that he should not go through with the marriage. By the way, we have the rest of Scripture, but notice Joseph's life. As of this point, Joseph knows nothing about verse 18. He knows nothing about it, that this was of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to see in a few verses, he does know about verse 18. So I want to try to look at how he might have seen it. What was the characteristics about him, the fruits of his life that make up that righteous man? But that double problem was, because of his righteous moral standards, he knew he had to go through a marriage, not through that marriage, because of Mary's pregnancy. He assumed naturally that Mary had a relationship with another man. Husbands, doesn't that make you mad? I mean, I remember when I was just dating, I don't know if we were engaged yet or not, and I went to visit her in college, and being so much younger than I am, you know, train up a child when she's old, she won't depart from it, you know. But that I would go, and she'd be talking to someone. If I saw a guy talking to her too close, I'd go, get, you know. Can you imagine that? Joseph loved Mary. And she was great with child, but he was a just man, and he knew what he had to do. And so he also realized that being righteous, just, that he wanted to do right and do God's will, he had to show love and kindness. In fact, do you know we don't see any evidence in Scripture that Joseph was angry or felt anger or bitter about the situation? In fact, we only know that he didn't want to disgrace her. We must realize this. Faith is essential to willing and unreserved obedience and to the removal of mental difficulties. Joseph had some mental difficulties, and they were removed by the angel's communication, revealing the dignity of Christ's birth, and showing the nature of his mission. We're going to see that in just a few moments. But let's look at the last part of verse 19 through verse 25, and we're going to see the fruits of his life and these characteristics that I believe you and I need to manifest and emulate to be that manifestation of a righteous person. God has given this to us so we can take these things as character traits of what a real righteous person is. It says that Joseph was a just man. He lived by faith. He was a righteous man. He lived by principle. Above all, his whole heart wanted to do according to what God's will was. And so we see, first of all, that your actions define who you are in these verses 19 through 25. They defined exactly who Joseph was. We can find out and look really positively, confidentially, of what Joseph was like. And so let me give you the first one. The first one is, I believe, is that he was kind-hearted, but I put it this way. He first of all considered others. Look what the passage in the text says. It says, Joseph's husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. He considered others. Nothing is so clearly discovers a spiritual man as his treatment of an erring brother, Augustine said. And so we see he wanted to put her away privately, his passion. He could make a public example of her. In fact, in the day and age there, adultery was considered shame and infamy. It was of a in all the other different countries also. In Egypt, adultery was punished by cutting off the nose of an adulteress. In Persia, it was cutting the nose and ears cutting off if they were found in adultery. In Judea, the punishment was death by stoning, and the punishment was inflicted then, came out to be even during the betrothal period. Joseph was a religious man, and he was tender. And he sought to avoid the shame because he thought of her feelings above his. Isn't that a wonderful description of love? He considered others. Joseph resolved to put her away without specific cause, specifying his cause, for he is not willing to make her that public example. Both Joseph and Mary, it must have been a huge trial. Because remember, he now does not know about verse 18. And so being a righteous man, he knows what he has to do. But there's part of him says, I don't want to do that. So I'll do the next best thing. I'm not going to make her a public example. She's too wonderful. She's too special. But can you imagine how his heart was broken? Can you imagine how his heart was broken? All he knew is that his wife-to-be, that he wanted to live the rest of his life was great with child, and was unfaithful to him. Most of us, that would make us about fit and mad, ready to tee off and go find him. But we see that the first reaction this just man had was he considered others. He noticed he knew what had to be done scripturally, but he wanted to do it, as we see in Ephesians, Paul says, speak the truth in what? In love. We see a wonderful manifestation. You see, he knew he had to separate from her, but Mary was innocent. So can you imagine? He knew this. Mary knew this. I don't get it, Lord. I want to believe her, but this is impossible. And so he had to realize that God had so ordered it that she was connected with a man. Think of this. She was connected with a man that was mild, that was amicable and tender. If it would have been anybody else, there might have been some big problems. But he had the right mate. She had the right mate. And so their only aim would be to preserve a conscience void of offense, and God would guard their reputations. And in due time, God will care and direct. What an example of love. Think of that. He put her feelings before his. You know what 1 Corinthians 11, 13 says, verses 4 through 7, about love? Love seeks not her own. It does not insist upon its own rights. It is disinterested in its own. It's kind, it's compassionate and useful. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It's decent and does nothing to be ashamed of. Love is not puffed up, or in other words, enamored with its own importance, trying to clear his own name. He could have cleared it. He had to clear his own name. He knew. In fact, as we go further, we see when he didn't, he knew that by taking her, that there would be some people talking. Of course, we don't have gossips or people talking about other people in our world today. That would have never happened. Love beareth all things. It covers as to protect. So what do you see here? First of all, he considered others. Are you one that considers others? Do you put others in front of you? Others' feelings in front of yours? Even when you sense you've been wronged, what do you do? Are you one that considers others? Joseph. Listen, what a huge event in his life, and he still considered her feelings over his. And all he knew is that she did a wicked sin. That's all he knew at this time. But this is how he reacts. Tough, isn't it? Did you know that only takes God's grace? That only can be done by God's grace and the Spirit of God in you. Unsaved people can't see. They might be kind, but that's not their nature. That's not our nature. It is not our nature. And so we see that he considered others. Look at verse 20 then. He goes on, and the story follows and says, but while he thought on these things, what happens now? He considered others. But before he did anything, all those things that were mulling in his mind, the Bible says he didn't run off and do it right away. What does the Bible say he did? He thought on this thing. So not only did he consider others, but he contemplated the situation before he ran off half-cocked and did what he had a right to do. He had a right to do what he was going to do, what he was minded to do. As a righteous man, he had a right to do it. And the law of the land was right to do. But before he did, he, being a just man. In fact, this word thought on these things is, let me explain a little bit about that word. That word has the idea of, the root of that word is where we get one of the words for wrath. It was very interesting. It's one of the words for wrath. I think as I go a little farther, you'll understand maybe what was going through his mind by description in Scripture. For it means, has the idea, it can be translated, the idea is brave or spirited. But it's been translated weigh and consider. It's found three times, and it means think in the sense of ponder or think about it. Focusing on one's inner thoughts. And so the mind, the thought, but also anger and wrath and indignation is involved in this word. In other words, I guess you could put it this way. It's a spirit that is aroused. And so the element of wrath is implied in the root of this word. There's two words, but the root of the word, as we have a compound word here, is the element of wrath in it. And so it would have the idea of an agitated spirit or a spirit that's aroused. One language commentary said this, it means remembrance, bringing into mind, but with agitation of spirit. Does that not explain what must have been going through his mind? So he contemplated the situation, and he just didn't say, flip it. No, he had an agitated spirit with the idea of saying, this really, he's about ready. This could tick him off. He was agitated. But he knew he had to think about those things. In other words, number one, he meditated on the situation before he did anything about it. How many of you and I meditate on the situation, the circumstance that happens to us before we do anything about it? Every physical fight, everybody does that, of course. Boy, you get smacked and you're going to smack them right back right away. And you're going to go after them before they can get it back. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a folly and a shame to him. Proverbs 18:13. Psalm 119:59 says, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, Paul is saying to Timothy, as he just instructed him, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In other words, stop, consider what I'm saying, and the God will give you discernment so that you might do the right thing as you mull it over in your mind. He meditated on the situation before he did anything about it, and he looked for God's answer with patience. The illustration that was brought up in my mind was as I was looking at this, and I couldn't help to think of, I was a bachelor for 6 years, you know, and I was a youth pastor, you know, for a couple of years, and then I was the camp director at Kobiak, of course, for all those years, 22 years, but I'd already been there then for 2 years, or, yeah, because it had 2 years of grad school, and then 2 years at the youth pastor, and 2 years at camp. Well, I found this lady that I fell in love with, I chose this lady who I grew in love with. But I'm one that I just am, you know, I'm the type of person that you say I can't do this, that's a wrong thing to say. Or I have to be certain. People would tell me, you need to date this girl. When they would tell me, my folks loved her before I did. And they said, you need to, and I just, if God showed me, gave me peace about it, I'd do it. Well, long story short, we did, and we dated for, just a few months. In fact, I only saw her about, 5 weeks or 4 weeks before we actually got engaged. But you got to understand, again, I was just a few months from 28 before we got married. But I'll never forget the day that the night before I asked her to marry me. You could say I got cold feet. Here I've been a bachelor for a while. I want to make sure it's what God has, and I don't want to hurt her anymore. And I honestly believe the devil doesn't want things to get together that are right. And so we were talking, and I remember saying to her the night before I asked her, man, I had already bought the ring. I had things planned out what I was going to do. And the night before, I said, you know, I don't know about this, Brenda. And so we said goodnight, and she went with my assistant there at the camp. She was staying at the camp there and with my assistant. I went in and called my dad. And he said some things. And scriptural things, being a godly preacher himself, and I went to sleep, and I'll never forget, I just wasn't going to break it off yet, and I would pray about it. I went in scripture, I went and got a lot of counsel, and I remember going to sleep that night. I'd go to sleep. You know how that pits in your stomach and you just, the decision that you got to make, you know, don't sit there like you haven't. Yeah, it is. It's there. Okay? It was there. And I would go and I would fall asleep and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd go, okay, do I feel better now? Going on the feelings instead of fact and truth. But that's where we are. There's where our emotions are. Oh, I better go back to sleep then. Go back to sleep. The next morning, a wonderful preacher friend of mine came up and talked to us, talked to me about love, and continued to talk to my dad. That day, I went and called her dad. And then I went and asked her to marry me that night. You know what she said to me? Here we are I had the caretaker there at the camp, fireplace there, we're in front of the fireplace. And we read scripture together, and I always would pray last, but this time I had her pray whatever it was. No, I prayed first, and then she prayed last. And as she was praying, I wasn't listening to words. You know, I'm trying to, with my right hand, get the ring out of there, you know, and get it open and put it open so that when she opened her eyes, she'd see it. And then I asked her to marry me. What a wonderful, romantic fire and everything. She turns to me and she says, "Are you sure?" And I said, "I wouldn't do it if I wasn't sure. Believe me." And God had appointed and ordered a wonderful mate for me that I didn't blow it because I could have blown it. And 4 kids and 7 grandkids later, praise the Lord for their striving to do right. Folks, we get half-cocked off. We need to stop and look in God's Word. We need to stop. In fact, the Bible says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defenses. I shall not be moved. See, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that's God's promise. If you and I will just contemplate the situation, wait patiently, and God rewarded him. Because you know what he did? Because you see, in that day and age, a dream, well, how God showed his favor were through 3 ways on the land: a good king, a fruitful year, and a good dream. Boy, I'm glad he doesn't look through dreams now, because I'd need Joseph to interpret all of them. In fact, I even saw someone coming in this morning, and I thought to myself, "Oh, I remember I dreamed about him this week." Why? I don't know. But I mean, we just don't know. But notice that what happens now. Look what he says. "But while he thought on these things," what happens? We see from the past part of verse 20 all the way down to 23, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted, God with us. What happens? He considered others. He contemplated the situation, went through scriptures, and what did God show him? He was charged by God. God gave him, as we see, the word, his word. And he settled his heart. And he realized, okay, as a righteous man now, there's some things I'm going to have to do. This is going to be tough because people are going to think this, but it isn't the case. And no one's going to believe that. How many people today we have don't believe it? And so we have that mandate that happened. He was charged by God. He was so charged by God that the Bible says, "Thy testimony also are my delight and my counselors. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so he told him exactly what he's to do. And so we see this personal message and a precise message he gave him, a prophetical message that he concerning Christ's very birth and his name and his work. Because look what we see him doing. Notice it says, and he gives him the information, fear not. Can you imagine in his dream what must have been going on? However, God did that. But can you imagine when he woke up what was in his, talk about excitement. At the same time, what else do you think was in his mind? I don't get it. Wait a second. You're telling me that what is happening is a miracle from God? And he didn't realize it to its fullest, but he was part of prophecy that he knew about in the Old Testament. Can you imagine the mixed emotions that came up? But the truth that he was charged by who? Fear not, for I am with thee. Neither be dismayed. For I am thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so he was charged by God. He saw God's word. He saw that there's a name that he had to give him, Emmanuel, meaning God with us in fulfillment of prophecy. He saw that there was the work to be done. And what it says, you'll call his name Jesus. And then what does he say in verse 21? For he shall what? He'll save people from their sins. And I'm standing here. Since 1962, he saved me from my sins because I put my faith in him. You know what? If you consider others and you realize what a righteous man he considers others, puts others before himself, and then you contemplate the situation. In other words, you meditate on God's word and scripture. You take time to know who he is. This week, I call my jogging tub trotting. And as I was jogging, I was reminded again, whenever you're in a situation or you're discouraged or whatever, turn and just think about the attributes of God. So guess what? Different times this week that's happened, I've tried to just think of the attributes of God. He's so wonderful. And Joseph had to do that. As a just man, he wanted to do that. He couldn't understand. He didn't understand at all what this was. But he did know one thing. My God said, fear not. And this is a miracle of God. I don't understand its fullness, but I'm going to do it. Because notice what it says in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, this whole dream came in the sleep, raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And he took Mary to be his wife right then. He took him whenever that was. But it was there before. And one of the reasons, can you imagine and understand? That he, by him, people seeing husband, wife, and she great with child, there wouldn't be that disgrace. And so what do I see in verse 24? He complied to God's charge. He considered others. He contemplated the situation. He got in God's word, and then God charged him, told him what to do, and he complied to God's charge. That sounds easy enough, doesn't it? He just obeyed God. Well, get in God's word. He just obeyed God. I worry so much. Well, God says, stop it in Philippians. Stop it. I know that goes back to the illustration I gave with it, back Newhart. Stop it, stop it. Well, stop it. obey God. He complied to the situation right away, as he had a dilemma in front of him. And he could have confidence because it was God's word. When the Lord's will is spoken, there should be no delay in obedience. He did. A revelation in the dream. He knew nothing, but we know that he obeyed it right away. He knew that taking Mary as his wife might be humiliating. Joseph chose to obey the angel's command to marry her. He did not hesitate. The decision now was no longer difficult because simply he did what he knew and wanted him to do. Isn't it wonderful when you know you're in the middle of God's word and you just obey him? The peace that passes all understanding, even though it might be hard times. How many times have you made the right decision that God wants you to make? And there's been hard times in that. But you know this is what God wants you to learn. It happens with ailments, doesn't it? We don't know why certain things happen in our ailments, but it's something God wants to teach you. Your circumstances. Talk about circumstances here. Joseph had full of circumstances, and he complied to God's charge in his life. No matter what the social stigma, no matter what the local gossips thought about this move, Joseph knew he was following God's command and marrying and caring for Mary during her pregnancy. And I can imagine the excitement and the whoopee when he woke up. I get to marry the love of my life. And I get to do it right now. And it all happened, the excitement, because he wasn't happy before he went to bed. But he was happy after he woke up, as God spoke to him. And the way that happens for us in today's dispensation, it's called his word and the Spirit of God teaching you. You just wait, let God do it. Sometimes you have to wait a little longer, sometimes right away. But the Spirit of God will teach you if you know him as your Lord and personal Savior. And so as a just man, you need to consider others before you consider yourself. You need to contemplate the situation. Get in God's word. Is this what a job move, a house and buying, a car? Christmas presents. Whatever. Friendships. Contemplate it. Talk to the Lord. He will charge you. He will tell you. In some ways, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I look back at all the circumstances that led to my even doubting about whether to ask her at that time or other things. Oh, 20/20 fell right in perfectly God's will. And did you know what happened? Remember what I told you? Those different emotions that I had before I asked her to marry. Once I asked her to marry me, guess what happened? They all left because I did what God was showing me. You need to realize that you need to consider others before yourself. You need to contemplate the situation. You need to make sure that God is in charge and comply to that charge. And then lastly, what can you get out of verse 25? As we look at God's word, he says, "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus." Firstborn has the inference that there was others, Mary had others, didn't they? There are people that teach that she was virgin, she never had any other children. That is false. We see it all through Scripture. We see who she had. Well, they make an excuse. Well, that was Joseph's children from his first marriage. We can make up anything to match what we want, can't we? And Joseph, we don't know anything more about Joseph, but let me just explain what I see here in verse 25. Of course, you know, since we're sticking with the seas this morning, he complied to the situation. Of course, he considered others, and we see that he complied. He hit. Then what is it in verse 25? I believe what I see here is he lived a controlled life. He was a disciplined man. Because now I can really relate with this. He's married, and God has a wonderful gift that God's given to mankind in marriage, and that's the husband-wife relationship in marriage. And he was married now. And he did not know her and have that relationship with her until after Jesus Christ was born. There could be a lot of reasons. They're all speculations and possibly some not wrong. But no one could ever say that, no, that was of Joseph. No, it was of the Holy Spirit, because he did not have a relationship with her until after, until the firstborn, Jesus Christ, was born. He was a disciplined man. He refrained himself, and he regarded God's command as imperative in his life. I guess that's one that we really have to look at, isn't it? Being disciplined. Letting the Spirit of God control our lives. So we realize through Scripture that he was simply a righteous man that that considered others. And he contemplated the situation. He then was charged by God. And he complied to that charge. He was obedient. And he lived a controlled life. So how's your life? Is it a controlled life? Are you disciplined? Are you considering others? Are you getting into God's word? Are you complying to what that word says? Are you controlled by the Spirit of God and discipline in your life? Pretty hard to get up in the morning sometimes, isn't it? Well, are you doing it? Isn't it something? There's certain things that you need to get up for. You get up for, whether it's hard or easy. Other things you don't get up for, that's still as hard as easy. Folks, I just trust that this morning, that as you've asked the Spirit of God to show you something this morning, that you'll realize that this man that walked by faith, what we do defines us. Look at what defined Joseph. Does that define you? Our dear Heavenly Father,